Good evening, this is Lesbian Nation. Tonight, I'm interviewing women from the play Come Out, which, as you may remember, had its debut last summer during Christopher Street Week. The women are Helen, Carolyn, Deanna, Emily, and Elizabeth.
I understand that Coming Out is going to be playing again soon.
We're doing it February 24th at 8 o'clock at Richmond College in Staten Island, which is just up the hill from the ferry.
Yeah, I know Richmond. Hey, I saw Coming Out, and I don't know how many of you people there in the audience saw Coming Out, but I saw it twice, and I really liked it. And if you haven't seen it, you really got it, because it's one of the few gay plays that says where it's at for us, instead of being aimed at straight people and telling them how nice we are in spite of the fact that we're crazy and sick and perverted. I was wondering how you all got into it.
I was at a bar, at a woman's bar, a lesbian bar.
I mean, I'm not a professional actress. How do you, and, you know.
Well, I'll tell you. And I know Emily, and Emily knew that I'm an opera singer, and Emily knew that I did some theater work, and she asked me if I would be interested in being in the play, or at least coming down and seeing what it was all about. And I came, and at the beginning of the, like the first time I had ever gone to a rehearsal, I was turned off by the script. And it was good. It was better than most things about gay people, but I didn't feel it was radical enough for myself as a lesbian and as a woman, as a feminist also. So my first reaction was, in a way, turned off. But Elizabeth, who had been to the auditions, and she seemed to have a little more faith because she'd seen it more. She was more aware of what was happening. She helped me to see that we could change it, and we could work together, the five women that were in it, and we could really do things constructively. And that's how I
know the author of the play, John, and I was wondering, did he react favorably to demands for alteration?
Yes, he did. I mean, it was, of course, for a man, you know, I think they always find it hard, no matter how sweetly they want to accept it. But I think that the women in the play were, like, very strong, and we got it together. We had things to get together among ourselves, you know, and we did. And he was very open about it. You know, he really wanted, I mean, we were more than just actresses or actors or whatever. We were part of the play, and he wanted that.
Is there anybody here who wasn't in the theater before this happened? Or have you all had experience in the theater?
No, not necessarily. I didn't have any experience in the theater. I had just been teaching school for 3 months upstate, and I had never been active in the gay community at all, though I'd had a lover for a long time, just one lover. And I came down on a poetry reading one day, a Sunday at the firehouse, and they passed around a sheet and said, "Anybody want to be in a play?" And I said, "Yeah, why not?" And I went on my little audition and got in and got involved in the gay movement.
I've done dance. I've done very little acting. I've performed some dance.
Well, I've been always interested in theater and always kept an eye out for the possibilities, and the possibility of doing a gay play and the possibility of getting some of our feelings out on stage really excited me. And it was really a good experience for me and for the, you know, to being with women and working with them on, you know, being lesbians. Yeah.
Acting experience, not terribly. I've always been interested in acting. That's why I came out for Coming Out, and it had a dual role since it was a homosexual play, and I'm homosexual, and like acting at the same time, so I was interested in it, and that's why I went out for it.
Wow. How did you find working together, like, as lesbians with gay guys, you know, in the same play?
You know,
you left first.
I remember, like, my first experience with Jonathan Cass. One day, like, after about three rehearsals, he said to the group at large, "You know, this is my first experience with dykes." He said, I never had anything to do with them in my whole life. He never had anything to do with women, I guess. I don't know. And dykes especially. And he said that he was very scared working at first, you know, the thought of working with us. And then he said, "Wow, you're really nice people."
I
reaction, too.
I think David said something like that to me, that he'd never worked with Dykes before, and that it was a totally new experience for him. And he had never seen them as people himself. Hmm. Himself, you know, he had seen them, the dyke, you know, the lesbian. Oh, here comes a dyke. Wow, you know, like a little star, you know, walking down the street. And for the first time, he started relating to them as people. And that was true of me, too, with gay men. I've known them casually, but I never had a working experience with them. Of course, straight women and straight men I've worked with because, you know, my music, but I've never worked with gay men in an art form, theater. I found it good, and the men were relatively good. And I'm glad I got to know them in the way I did.
Well, most of the men had very stereotypical ideas of lesbians.
Yeah.
And it was really important, I think, that we got together and we really were ourselves and we really, like, worked on things as women and we were really, like, very, our consciousness was very up to getting it together and getting across on stage how we felt about a lot of these issues. And I think that the men were a little taken aback at first. I think that they expected to direct it and not get too much, that we wouldn't get too much into it, I think. That they expected that, and when we did get into it, and when we did have our own ideas and our own suggestions and stuff like that, it worked. I mean, it worked. It was hard, but it worked.
Yeah, I think it was hard.
Did they expect you to be kind of like a ladies' auxiliary, the way, you know, the lesbian groups have been in, you know, like the Mattachine Society and gay male movements in general?
I think Jonathan, in writing the play, didn't realize that the lesbian experience is different from the homosexual experience. And the play is about the experience of lesbians and homosexuals in America. And a lot of the experience of lesbian in America is about women's oppression as well as homosexual oppression. And they didn't expect that. They expected us to be more like them, but female.
And cruise on Christopher Street.
Yeah, like a whole gay scene.
No, they expected us to do a little drag scene. Like at the beginning when we were rehearsing, we had to do a little improvisational drag. The men had to. And they expected us to get into it too. But how do women get into drag, you know? I mean, how do we relate to that?
Camping,
it was very hard, a very campy kind of, you know, and like we had to get across a whole, they had such an image of us in a way. I think what Emily said was right about us being women but not different from homosexuals. I mean, we were lesbians, so we were all lumped together with the homosexual movement and not with feminism.
Yeah.
I think they also were excited about us having women's consciousness.
Oh, yeah, I think it excited them a lot. It scared them, it excited them, and I felt that, yeah, I felt that too.
Yeah.
How did you find, once the thing got together, audience reaction?
Oh, it was fantastic. God, they were so hungry to see what we were showing them, and they were so happy to be there, and people who looked like they were scared to be there were coming and enjoying it. God, it was so good, and people at the end were felt like it was their play.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Like it was part of them. Like they were seeing, you know, like homosexuals and lesbians. Like I never see myself. I can never identify really totally with let's say a picture about homosexuals or even about lesbians or reading books about lesbians. You know, before, but I think that this for the first time, I think people like lesbians began to see a basic identity in this struggle. You know, and I think it's beautiful. Without boys in the band, you know, kind of everything was not stereotyped. It was really personal. It was personal for each one of us. You know, why we were doing it was a personal reason. Because I don't think that, like, as a piece of theater, I really couldn't judge because it was something new. But I, like Elizabeth said, I needed to express myself as a lesbian. And I felt good about doing it in an art form.
Right.
That really
yeah.
excited me. And I want that so much. I want that in opera, too. I'd love to be feminist opera. I dig it.
How long has it been playing? I remember sitting in the firehouse last summer and cheering myself hoarse and sweating. How long has this been going on?
How long
didn't
the we fire house?
We June 24th. Wasn't it the first one? June 21st.
We ran for that weekend, and then we split up for the summer, and then we ran for 2 weeks at Washington Square Methodist Church, where we were very successful. And then we did scattered shows here and there.
At Rutgers and at City College and...
Central Unitarian Church in Brooklyn.
Close to Hofstra?
Somewhere in Long Island.
GAA in New Jersey?
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful place, huh? Mm.
What happened in, like, the colleges and the churches and stuff when straight people came to see it?
Well, I mean, there wasn't the same reaction as when we had played it for almost totally gay audiences at the Firehouse and even at the Judson Memorial Church, where you had the village people who are pretty sophisticated and, you know, they're used
Judson. Washington Square.
Washington Square Memorial.
I think we had a great reaction every night there.
I think it was great, but, like, we didn't have the cheering and all kinds
I liked the Washington Square audiences and the Firehouse audiences more than I did the college audiences.
Absolutely.
Simply because I think that they were much more sophisticated. You know, they had stages, and here we were all of a sudden in a room just especially for theater, which we had never been before. I mean, we were just doing it in large rooms and setting off our own stage and stuff like that. And plus, I found it that students, I'm not quite so sure, although it was a more sophisticated space, sophisticated atmosphere, it wasn't... The students, I don't think, were as much into the feeling of their homosexuality as much, I think. I'm not sure. The audiences weren't that diversified, and I think that's what made it so good, was diversified audiences. Yeah. People from all different kinds of walks of life coming in and really wanting to see it because it was not part of a school.
It was too easy at the colleges. They knew it was playing there, so they had nothing to do on a Friday night, and they came.
Well, I think... as far as, you know, I was brought up on Long Island, and going to Nassau was sort of, you know, so close to home, I could have stopped by and said, hi, Mom. And it was so close, and I could understand their upbringing. And when you're in the city, you know, our audiences, West 4th, at the church, it's different. People are different as they mature in the city somehow. You know, like, I left home from the island, and I've been in the city, like, 8-10 years. There's a difference in me, a change in me. And it's the same change in the audience. You can't compare the New York audience with Long Island and how they're brought up and how they get into the mold of, of their life. And they are college kids that are still living at home, that have their cars, that are still living off the breast of their mother, as far as I'm concerned. They haven't really made the big break. They haven't really experienced life. Of course, I think I would have expected this from them, as I would have myself if I had stayed there in the womb of my mother. But
I felt the college audiences, especially that audience, as very resistant to hearing anything new. It's almost like they were braced in their bodies. They didn't want to believe it. They very wary of letting in what we were saying.
I felt like they were really not in touch with their feelings.
I just
not at
they
all.
Were immature, that's all.
They were listening to it. I think they were listening to it intellectually, but they weren't feeling any of the feeling that we were feeling. And not that they should feel what we feel, but they should see us feeling and maybe react to that.
Also, another thing, which I said when I was doing the show one day, remember when they said to me, you know, feel oppressed, and I said, no, I can't feel oppressed, I was never oppressed. I was later on oppressed, but at that point I had never been oppressed in my life, and most of the college kids, they may be gay, you know, or whatever, but they've never actually been oppressed or tortured for being, you know, gay, so they can't relate to that sort
know,
of...
Maybe well, wait a minute, I think there's a different thing. I think we're all oppressed in this society, but like older gay people who have been through the root, you know, who have come out, who have been through years of hiding on the job, cruising, trying to find somebody to make a life with, failing, you know, can really empathize with it a lot more than young people who've just come out and are in the first flush of, am I or am I?
I want to be a lesbian, but I still want to relate to men. That's the things I hear. I'm so afraid that I'm not going to relate to men if I commit myself to this kind of lifestyle, you know, and it's really kind of upsetting to me in a way, because I'm going to school.
Where are you going to school, in the city or outside?
I'm going to school in Queens, York College, and I'm going there because I'm on the Sikh program. And I've been out of school for a few years, so it's really hard on me because a lot of these kids are very sheltered and they're really very uptight about their own feelings, their own sexuality, and it's very hard to deal with. And I find it really excruciating sometimes to be there. So.
You were speaking about Long Island before. Like, as a matter of fact, while we were doing the run at the Washington Square Memorial Church, I invited, no one in my family, everyone thinks that I'm different, and I'm very different, but I don't really discuss it. I just be myself in front of everybody and let them think what they want, but even with my mother and father, but like my aunt, my mother's sister, has been interested in me as an artist like all my life. She's thought that I was special, and because of that, I invited her to the play, her and her husband, and they had a very weird reaction. They said they understood everything that was happening, but every time like there was any kind of physical contact between any of us, like the women were usually hugging and kissing and touching each other, it was beautiful, and the men were having their arms around each other spontaneously, not it being put in the play, but even in the background. And my aunt said that she couldn't even look at it. Now that was very weird.
I don't think they were understanding. They understood everything but the physical contact. Let's face it.
They don't want to face it.
They didn't understand a damn thing.
They didn't
want
to face it. Yeah.
You know, physical contact was easy to say. I don't understand that.
Well, they couldn't
doubt if they understood anything.
I disagree there, because my feeling is it's like those kids who weren't afraid to react emotionally who were sitting back like that. And you know, some of it might have to do with war weariness. Like they're coming into college and people are expecting them to go take over a library or burn down the president's office.
Really,
and I think a lot of kids are feeling tired of being expected to join SDS and Crusade for Everybody's Liberation. But also, I think a lot of people, are terrified of getting in touch with their feelings and also getting in touch with those gay feelings. Like, supposing their parents thought, gee, you know, like, I've been missing something all these years.
this was a hard play to relate to. It was a lot easier for gays to relate to this play because they understood it. They understood the Stonewall. They understood all this, and that's why our reactions with gay were so tremendous. But for the straight person to come out, whether they, you know, if they're a relative or whatnot, they don't know the Stonewall. They don't know the oppression. And I don't think that there was any straight person in the audience that really could relate to the documentary play of coming out. I don't think so. That's my personal feeling. Because there are so many cliches, there are so many things that people know about, there's so many fields of cliches. But I don't think real straight people could come to see coming out and really the first time know what it's about. I think it's almost impossible. I am gay, and I went and did the play for whatever reason, and we're having a brawl here. But
actually, as things go in the Lower East Side, somebody knocked the lid off the bathtub.
Typical scene.
In the middle of the living room, right? Actually, the one room.
Every place except the bedroom, perhaps.
Wait. Hey, that's just like my bathroom. You know, like the old cast iron tub.
Right, and the box in the bathroom with the chain that I remember my grandmother's house.
Pull chain toilet. Anyway, you were saying.
And I think what I was saying is that I thought it was difficult for a straight audience because I myself, being gay, maybe not being as liberated and as aware, as a lot of other sisters, brothers are, I learned a lot from doing the play that I didn't even know about. And if I didn't know about it, How the hell is a straight audience going to know about it? I learned from this play an awful lot that I didn't know. And I know damn well they don't know. And when they saw that play, they walked out there and they didn't know half of what was going on.
I think that's one of the things that it told them, that there's a lot that they didn't know. I think it opened up to them that there's a whole world that they don't know about. They saw us, so I'm talking about some straight people, who friends of mine who came. They saw us together, strong on stage, and together with a consciousness, and they saw us knowing a history that they have no idea about. They've never thought about it.
Stein was gay.
You know, like, I remember when I was growing up, and, you know, not knowing that there were other people in the world like me.
Yeah.
And then for straight people to see that they're not only some of them, that there's so many of them.
Everywhere. They're coming out of everywhere. It's incredible. Elizabeth and I went to Philadelphia this weekend, and, like, we noticed, like, as I used to be in Philadelphia, I went to the Philadelphia Musical Academy, and when I went there, I never felt like there was anybody like me, but we went this weekend and we found this house full of women in a mansion, and they're sharing it. And it's incredible, all the dykes in Philadelphia. It's so beautiful, which I had never even known before. And as a matter of fact, some of them saw coming out and they've heard about it, and it made me really excited, you know.
I felt really good about being angry on stage. Yeah. I love that opportunity. And if I ever get another opportunity, you know, it was just so good and exhilarating for me to get some of the anger that I felt for a long time, to get it out in such a constructive way. It was really nice. Yeah.
Did you find before that you were blocked in your ability to experience anger or deal with it?
Nobody wants to answer.
I never really thought about being angry. I don't think, unless I'm blocking it right now, until I remember the first night we opened at the Firehouse, and I went in for a drink after the show was over to a straight bar across the street where I had previously had drinks at. And when I got to the bar, there were thousands of women there already trying to get drinks. And I walked in there with friends, and I asked for a scotch on the rocks, and the bartender wouldn't serve me. And I couldn't understand why. And then 15 seconds later, it turned out that he decided we were all gay and he was throwing us out of the bar. And we then zapped the bar. And I think that was the first time I really felt depression and had real anger. And it was very exciting.
Oppression, yes. Anger, definitely. The play, a release, perhaps. It's been a release for me personally, in the extent that I don't... Well, I've been 86 for many bars. And I thought about it, and a lot of the 86, a lot of the drunkenness, a lot of the whole hassle has been me being gay. But even in my own bars, where I'm supposed to be comfortable, supposed to be accepted, I'm not, because, okay, perhaps I do overdrink. Perhaps I'm wrong in thinking they should accept it any more than a straight bar would. But I feel a closeness. I thought a closeness with them in the fact that I'm oppressed and they're oppressed, and why don't you understand what I'm doing, except that they don't. And that's why the play is a release for me.
Can I say something about that? Like, Carolyn, you just said about the bars. You feel that because it's a gay bar that they should have someone. But of course, the gay bars are run by straight people. And the gay bars are all controlled.
I'm not talking about your... I'm talking about your barmaids that are gay.
But they're working for those people.
But all right. They're working for them. But they have no feeling...
They don't. They don't want to have it.
They don't.
They don't want to have it.
You know, it oppresses me.
Of course. I agree with you. But I'm just trying to make you see that the bars, as they stand right now, even the most liberated lesbian bar,
of course,
is
they're
run
by the
straight,
mafia, mostly.
Men, right. And they are really taking our money. They're ripping us off.
Of course they're ripping
us off. They're oppressing us by playing. They're not, the lights are low. You can hardly see. You don't get a chance to really talk to anybody. The music is completely blasting. It's still, even in the most liberated bar I know, there is still this atmosphere of straight bar.
But if you take a bar, like...
They don't relate to you as a woman and your struggle. And they don't relate to you as a whole. I mean, I was...
You're a $3 coverage charge for watered-down drinks.
Sure, yeah.
Anyway, let us get off the bar scene and back to the theater. Where are you going to go from here? I mean, you go playing out at Richmond for how long?
For one night, yeah. I mean, the college thing, we've been doing it for one night at each college. And the turnout hasn't been that great when we do it. I mean, really, considering how many people go to school and how many people, I don't know, how many people are really grappling over their own sexuality. You know, a lot there, the turnout isn't that good.
How do you get the engagements to play at schools?
Well, I've taken the job as tour manager, and what I do is try to get in touch with the gay organizations at the colleges, universities, and churches. And, of course, you know, we make some kind of an agreement. You know, we find a place to perform and everything. We ask right now a guarantee, which is not very much at all, because we have to absolutely get paid for something, and we really ask little. But I find that the colleges that... what happens is the gay organization is all for it, and the students are all for it, but of course the hierarchy will not dish out a little allotment which we really need. We need it for transportation, we need it for all things. We did it for free for a long time. All of us need to work, we have to exist. And we're asking such a nominal fee, and they are just so stingy with the gay organizations. Really, the gay organization gets like peanuts, and they get really shit on, and they don't take them seriously. And not only that, but the gay people at the colleges are not very, very responsible at all either, because I think they feel the oppression, and they internalize it.
If you were a football team.
Oh, we would plenty of support, plenty of money.
They'd build a stadium for you.
Oh, they sure would. They'd even let us major in football, as they do now. You major in football in college, you know. Major in being gay, you know.
I think it's the time for us to be paid and asked to places by the institutions themselves. I would like to be asked into high schools the way Shakespeare is asked into high schools. I'd like to be asked into the... by the colleges themselves. I think that's where it is now. And
supposing somebody out there is listening to all of this and wants to get in touch with you for a tour, how do they do that?
You can call the lesbian switchboard and leave your name and number, and I'll contact you as soon as possible. That's about it.
What's the number at the lesbian switchboard?
741-2610 is the lesbian switchboard number.
I hate not being able to hold my lover's hand, except under some dimly lit table, afraid of being who I am.
Afraid of being who I am.
The song you just heard was Angry Athos by Maxine Feldman. The record was produced and put out entirely by women, specifically by Pat Harrison and Robin Tyler, a feminist comedy team, who formed H&T Productions in order to produce records by women who can't get bookings anywhere else because they're lesbian or because whatever else they're expressing is unpopular. The proceeds from the record, if you want to buy it, will go toward an album for Maxine, and the proceeds from the album will go towards a fund for gay and feminist women artists. If you want the record, send $1.25 to H&T Productions, Post Office Box 1587, Los Angeles 90028. That is H&T Productions, P.O. Box 1587, Los Angeles 90028. There are a couple of announcements today. There's a women's dance at the Firehouse on Friday, February 23rd. And on Sunday, the 25th, there's a panel on problems of black women in the movement. Also on Monday, February 26th, at the Firehouse, and this is for free, other things require a donation, there's a Meet the Candidates night at the Firehouse, 99 Worcester Street. And it's for candidates from the city council. Well, that was Lesbian Nation. I'm Martha Shelley. Good night.